magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, January 26, 2018, the last Friday in this month. I heard Joey Kroll mention yesterday, Jason, that it was the last Thursday in the month. I had to look up at the calendar and thought, wow, is this flying? I was sharing with you just moments ago before we went on the air. It was such a high-octane, progress-filled, bodacious kind of day yesterday that I reveled in it all last night. On
bodacious?
Yeah. Picked that term up along the road somewhere. But it was just outstanding on so many different fronts. And you, like me, you know, when you can check something off a list or attend that massive inbox and get rid of like 47 emails and deal with them and further the initiatives of some of the things you've worked on, or the equipment showed up, so you got that installed, and just so many things yesterday that, I don't know, I'm still in afterglow or something, hoping that today I'll continue to get not only caught up, but maybe ahead for the weekend. But Huntley Brown is just a few days away. And so we're very excited about all the things that have been put together so that he'll be putting on a great presentation on Sunday night. So just a few days away, people have already called in. Some want that advanced secured seating and then the special meet and greet at 6 p.m. Sunday night. But the concert's at 7 p.m. right next door to Lincoln Square Mall is the First United Methodist Church, 304 South Race Street. And Race Street is just that goes north and south right next to Mall. So lots of parking at Lincoln Square, and we hope to see you out on Sunday night. You and I have been talking about and praying up the Israel trip in October, and so just excited to see what God's going to do with that and getting all some of those details and the hotels and the itinerary talked through and worked on. And we'll be having a Israel night on Friday, February 23rd, so about a month away. We'll be gathering at the Great News Radio Center to talk about the trip, expectations, and what to plan for, or maybe just want to come and learn more, and maybe it's a trip you'll take in the future, but we'll answer questions and talk about the trip and the expectation of why, in fact, are you there? Or why do you want to go? It's something that God had said. Did he say it to, is it Isaiah or Elijah?
He said it to Elijah.
Elijah.
Okay. Elijah in 1 Kings.
And it was basically a setting where God is saying to Elijah, why are you here? Or what are you here for?
Yeah, well, Elijah was hiding in the cave. And so Elijah had fled, and he was in the cave, and he had this amazing moment where there, you know, there is an earthquake. And it says, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And there was a, you know, there was fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And then all of a sudden, Elijah came to the mouth of the cave because he heard a still small voice that said, why are you here, Elijah? Mm-hmm. And he heard the Lord in that. And so it's just this beautiful picture of how the Lord speaks to us in this moment where we're, is the Lord in the fire? Is he in the earthquake? Because that's where we often think he is at.
Mm-hmm.
But in this moment, the Lord speaks to Elijah, not in those things, but he speaks to him in a very small voice, this calm, reassuring, still small voice that tells us something about Elijah, that he was attentive to hear the Lord.
Hmm. Well, and I love how, I guess it was a few months back where you kind of came up with this theme for the trip, and that was another indication, okay, God, if you're going to be moving this forward, we'll plan another trip, because I tell everyone, the trip we're on, this is the last trip unless God kind of raises up a theme or an intentionality or a real purpose for going, because, you know, 27 trips so far, I don't really need to go again. But
sure.
I love seeing what God does and how he works through a trip and turns it into a pilgrimage and people connect with God. And so some months back, I approached you. What are you thinking? Do you have any impressions yet? And you said, you know, I'm kind of captivated by this portion of Scripture, and this would be a great question to ask those on the trip. Why are you here? What are your expectations? What do you want God to do? Why are you wanting to go on this trip? And we could, you know, work teaching and conversations and have that be a real purpose-driven point of application for us. Why do we want to go? What do we want to achieve? How do we want God to meet us? And so I think it's going to be an exciting direction for us to take. And we'll be talking about that somewhat on Friday, February 23rd, for a special Israel night at the Great News Radio Center. And we'll have more information in the next week or two to register just so we can plan accordingly. But I think it's like for such a time as this, that's a great topic or a directive of God to challenge us to think through, why do we want to go on a trip to Israel to walk where Jesus walked?
Yeah, and it's really not just a direction for the trip, but I mean, it is a constant kind of waypoint, it feels like, for me. As I read the scripture, even now as you're describing the trip and you're talking about that, I'm looking at the scripture and I'm just thinking about, you know, this is what you need to constantly revisit, because the Lord asks Elijah, he says, what are you doing here? And the question that you could ask yourself, having been on 27, 28 trips, I think this will be my fifth or sixth trip, that needs to be the question that you have to ask. Because for some, you'll battle between, well, I'm here to buy souvenirs. No, you're not. This is a pilgrimage. This is not a, you know, but we will go and buy souvenirs. We will go and do this thing and that thing. I mean, there'll be a myriad of different things we do. But what are you truly here for? Why are you here? What is it that you are seeking? And more importantly, because this passage here revolves around the presence of the Lord. The Lord says, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. So the presence of the Lord is about to make himself manifest to Elijah. And so the question for every pilgrim who is praying, thinking right now, you know, do I want to go on the Israel trip? Do I want to go on the Israel trip? The question I would have for you is, why are you going? Why are you there? Because the presence of the Lord will pass by you while you are there. You will meet God in a unique and powerful way. I've seen it happen over and over again.
Yeah.
And for many, many people, it is not in the place you thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
It is not on top of the Mount of Beatitudes. It is not, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, although I have seen people meet God in very powerful ways there. But I've also seen people just walk up to a pile of rocks and touch them and begin to weep.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people come up to a place and it's just overwhelmed by the moment. I think that we, as a group in the last trip, were on the southern steps, and we just had a moment on the southern steps. You know, and so I think that we need to have that attentiveness to say to ourselves consistently, why are we here? Because we want to see what the Lord is going to do, and he is going to pass by. His presence is going to be manifested and made known to us. And so we need to have that constant expectation that we're awaiting that small whisper, that still small voice to speak to us in a powerful and profound way. And I want to say this as a disclaimer, though. You don't have to go to Israel to have God speak to you in a powerful and profound way. But I have found that when you leave the regular kind of trajectory of your life, leave the regular kind of schedule that you have and all the things you have to do, the normalcy of your life, and go somewhere absolutely different where you are jet-lagged, you're out of your element, you're not in control necessarily. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into that, that the Lord speaks to you in powerful ways because you're in like, how do we want to say it, Mark? You're in the perfect position to have the Lord speak to you.
Yeah, because we're being saturated with God's word, with prayer, with worship time, the fellowship, you know, we're breaking bread together. And then to be on location where these historical biblical events took place, there's just nothing like it.
Right. And to open up the Bible and go, wait a second, do you actually mean that this page in the Bible happened right here?
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait a second. I mean, for some people, that is so profound. You know, it's such a profound moment when all of a sudden it's like, wait a second. That is here? I mean, I've had people, and you've had people too, who just go, wait a second, this was here.
Yeah,
yeah, this was here. You really mean this happened here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right here, pretty much where you're standing. No way.
Yeah.
I see that every time, every single trip when we're on the southern steps, because, you know, there is a lot of sites where you could say, well, this is the traditional place. They believe it happened here. They're discovering more things every day. But the southern steps is one of the places, without fear of contradiction, you can say from between here to that spot there, somewhere in here, Simeon and Anna saw the baby Jesus when Simeon held him up in the air and said, my eyes have seen the consolation of Israel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, without fear of contradiction, and you are on the original steps.
Yeah, yeah, these steps.
Yeah, and so every time somebody stands there and just like stomps on the steps and goes, these are the real steps. Yeah, these are the real steps. No, the real steps. No, yeah, these are the real steps. You know, it's like they can't wrap their mind around, I'm standing where Jesus, where we're like this one, this moment, you know, Simeon, where he had been praying and reading the Bible and waiting and going to the temple because he trusted the Lord and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And all of a sudden he saw Jesus and he lifted him up in the air as Mary and Joseph were coming to offer the sacrifice of, you know, two birds. And this is this amazing moment in the Bible, and you're there.
Yeah, we talk about those Kesher moments where you make the connections. But, yeah, these are 2,000-year-old steps. It's not like recreated or, you know, something that's just been modified. These are original. So, yep, that's exciting times. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to pull this all together and to pray it up and to see how he's going to work. So more to say in the days ahead, but put on your calendar if you're interested at all about knowing more about a trip to the Holy Land, a pilgrimage. It'll be happening in October, the 3rd through the 13th, but we'll have an interest night on Friday night, February 23rd, at the Great News Radio Center. And I think we're going to do it at like 7 p.m., 6:45 or 7 p.m. We'll have specific exact times in the next few days. Yeah, so that got worked on, the Wonderful Life CDs. I think we mailed out a number of those to some friends and supporters and those that requested it and getting great feedback on people listening to it and glad they received it. We had 25 teachers on Thursday, yesterday, at our English conversation class. I mean, I had two teachers at all the different tables and a number of students, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 international students, and it was like a beehive where everyone was learning and exciting. You know what our topic was? The topic for the intermediate, which I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8 intermediate tables. So that was about 16 of the teachers. It was on visiting the dentist and like tooth decay and molars and crowns. And, you know, all of us have teeth and so have to go to the dentist from time to time. So we talked all about the dentist and the experience and what's it like and terminology and then tangent discussions. Everyone usually gets about a minute or two to share an update from the week before, but a lot of excitement and all the groups.
Did anybody share what the difference is, say, between the dentist in China where they're at? Because the majority of these folks are from China, right?
Right, yes.
Yeah. So did they share what the difference is between being at the dentist in China versus being at the dentist in America?
You know what? Probably, but my group, we never even got to the questions. The first.
Oh, well, that's not shocking.
Yeah,
wow.
I know it. The first.
Poor group.
I know. The first hour, we just did introductions and then tangent discussions, and they were bringing up the tangents. Like, this would come up, and my goal as a facilitator.
Wait, so there's like a Chinese Mark Burns derails everything.
It was a room of them. Yeah, that was kind of funny. And that's what, you know, my goal is to foster them talking. So we were on this and then that. And, you know, the differences between men and women. And, you know, So the first hour went by and I said, hey, we got to get into these words. Well, then we have a little break. And so now it's like 11:15 and we go till noon. And so we finally said, hey, we got to start hurrying through these words. And we didn't even finish all the words, let alone the 7 questions that I had laid out, which covered exactly what you're like. What's the difference between visiting a dentist here and in China? And so I don't know. My group didn't get there. So.
Okay.
But thank you, God, for these 25 teachers. And I think almost all of them were there yesterday. So it was just a vibrant bunch. And then the Prime Life Times, I'm starting to put some of those on the wall at the Great News Radio Center. You know, we're now 3 months in. We just did our final proofs on the February edition. And so those will be out and about in about another week. But, you know, just getting those kind of put on the wall and just so thankful for the advertisers and those involved, the content contributors. And, you know, it's a huge undertaking, but Marianne, again, our editor-in-chief, kind of walked everyone through it. We got the proof, and so it's being printed in the next few days. And I had a call to Dennis at Marketplace Mall, and he's getting close. I was like, what can I do to get our newspapers in that food court? So I sent him an email, and he's working with corporates, so I'm just praying. That's one of those, if I can get there with all the people that go through that food court, I think it'll really enhance the publication and get into a lot more people's homes, if you will. And I'm just praying that up. I told him, I said, Dennis, I really want to have him in your food court. What's it going to take? So hopefully he'll be getting back to me today or this next week. And we can receive some of the new stands. And, oh, I don't know, just so many facets came together yesterday. I was kind of praising God last night, saying, you know, oh, Lord, thank you for all the ways you work in the details, you know, in big and small ways, with people, with staffing, with deliveries, with the funds that continue to come in on behalf of the radio ministry, and just great feedback and helpers. And oh, it's just kind of like one of those banner days that I think this weekend I'm going to be living on or living off of, just thinking, thank you, God, again, for being the great God that you are, that he doesn't even have to do anything ever again for me. You know, I've had these conversations with him. It's like, you know, Jesus was enough. But then all the ways he spoiled us with, you know, the luxuries of the homes that we live in, the hot water, air conditioning, transportation. We get to eat just about anything we want. We live in times that we have so much. And then just all the family and friends and relationships and meaningful work. And it's like, oh, God, I'm so spoiled. You know, I'm just so blessed. And then he just seemingly pours out more. And I listened to a message by Charles Stanley. I was thinking one of these morning programs, I should just air it. But it was about the new year and tithing and giving back to God, and yet how he gives so much to us. And how overwhelming that is. So it was just another great reminder that you can't outgive God, and he has our best interest in mind, and he cares for us, and he loves on us, and he, you know, even though when we fail or fall short, he's still hounding us, hounding after us. He wants us in his presence. He's quick to forgive and overlook our sins through Jesus when we confess and, you know, recognize our utter need and dependence on him. And he's a loving dad that wants to take care of us and wants to invest in us and work through us. And I don't know, it's just a reminder of these are exciting times that we get to live in and bring hope and healing and be that vehicle of a word of encouragement for somebody downhearted or somebody that doesn't quite get that God loves them yet, and be that healing balm or that fragrance of Christ that will, I don't know, how God supernaturally uses us to be a vehicle that will encourage them to seek after the Bible or seek after spiritual things. So there's some couple good questions that some people asked yesterday that it's like, oh, Lord, bring them into the kingdom. However your timing for their lives, may they cross other Christians that can, you know, water and season those things that are, you know, troubling their heart, and how you can use them. And, you know, then that transformational work where they get it, they fall on their knees and say, I just never knew God loves me and that he provided Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. And, you know, that magical, mysterious way that God draws people to himself, and they get it. And we're all fortunate, I'd say most of our listeners are fortunate, that they get it, that God loves them and cares and provided that avenue through Jesus that we can have a relationship. I mean, oh, it's enough to get excited about. What do you think?
I think it really is. I mean, I was reading yesterday the parable of the talents, and so many times when I've read the parable of the talents, I've heard it preached. I actually was reading it and thinking, wow, I've never preached this text. But I've heard it preached a lot of different ways. I've heard it preached, you know, that we have some people are one talent, two talent, three talent people. Some people who don't know the parable, it's about, you know, Jesus tells a story. It says a man goes on a journey, and he called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave five talents, another two, another one, to each according to his ability. It's interesting because the man goes away and he comes back and he says, hey, what have you done with what I've given to you? And the people say, well, you know, the guy who said, you know, well, you gave me five talents, he says, this is what I've done. I've multiplied what you've given me. And this guy says, well, you give me two talents, I made two more. And the last guy, he comes up and he says, well, you gave me the one talent, and I dug a hole and put it in the ground because I knew you were a hard man.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because the problem is not about ability or gifting in this parable. It's about what you think about God based on what you do with the gift that he's given you. And so the man with the one talent, he squandered the gift of God instead of multiplying it. And so God wasn't mad. God is the landowner in the story. God wasn't mad that the man didn't multiply it, but it's how the man treated the gift of God. So it's really kind of quickly an interesting story. You know, my wife at my birthday, she gave me a really nice pair of pants, really nice pair of wool brown pants. And I was thinking right before my wife left to go to Romania, she said to me, I said, hey, what do you think of these pants I got in? Because I got some pants that just came back from the tailor. And she said, those are nice, but you know what would really look nice? Those brown pants that you've got inside the closet that I gave you. Hmm. And I said, honey, I love those pants you gave me. I don't want to wear them. I don't want to get them torn or something like that. And she said, but I gave them to you so that you could wear them. And it made me think about this parable, because the gift my wife gave me, I want to put it in the closet and hide it away and not use it for fear that something may happen to it, for fear of whatever. But how you treat the gift says a lot about what you think about the giver. And so I want to wear those pants now more than ever. And when people say, hey, those are nice pants, I say, yeah, my wife bought these for me. Just the same as when people say, hey, why did you just do what you did? Because God gave me the free gift of his son, Jesus Christ. I mean, I want to say to people, let me tell you about the giver of the gift. And so I think just like you're saying, I mean, what do we think about the giver? And how we live our life and how we talk about our life of faith and how we come, you know, all those things says so much about the one who has given us the great, and I'm talking about a pair of pants. Yeah. This is about salvation and eternity and freedom from bondage and the fact that I get to say today, I'm living for God. I mean, what a gift that is, Mark, for you to be able to get out of bed and go, you know what I'm going to do today? Boom, I'm going to serve the Lord. And some people might go, yeah, well, you know, you're a pastor and you run a radio ministry. No. Any one of us who is in Christ can get up out of bed in the morning and go, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be this wonderful picture that always points back to the majesty of the giver. Hmm.
Amen and amen. Okay, everyone, be supercharged today. Be God's ambassador. Be the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have that fragrance of him on you. And pray up that the Holy Spirit will work through you today and grant you these opportunities to proclaim his goodness in word, in deed, in your expressions, in so many different ways. And be in church this Sunday. Well, we're out of time. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.